destroy the wise wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that is in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. And it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we're not looking for a sign. The sign's done come. Amen. His name's Jesus Christ. We're not looking for a sign. We're not looking for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father God, as we bow in your presence, Lord, I'm just on alert tonight, wanting to understand your word. I want to listen to you tonight. I want to understand what you're calling us to do at this church. Lord, you're moving on people. Lord, you're saving people. You're baptizing people. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I pray right now that you continue to move. We're baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. And Lord God, all over this place, there's things that are happening. And Lord, we want to stay at the spout where the glory runs out, Father. Lord God, we don't want nobody's opinions, nobody's emotions, nobody's thoughts to get in the way. We just want to see Jesus Christ in a high lifted way. Father God, around this place, we want to lift up nothing more and nothing less but you tonight, Father. Father, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you. Father, there's kids that are watching us and what we're doing and how we're carrying ourselves. And tonight, I want to carry myself according to the word of God. Father, I love you. I praise you. And I ask you to bless tonight. Guard my throat. Guard my thoughts. Let everything I say be all about you, and it's in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. As we come tonight, we see the preaching of the cross, but the Bible says, if you turn back to the book of Psalm, chapter number 11 and verse number 3, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I want to say tonight that there's foundational truths that every local body church is built upon, and one foundational truth that the local body church must be built upon, must be established on, and that is on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He bled and died on an old rugged cross, was put in a borrowed tomb, and on the third day he rose again. That is a foundational truth that must stand in the local body church. Folks, tonight, can I say to you, they took blood out of the church. They're trying to take the blood out of your Bible. They don't want nothing to do with the blood. They don't want nothing to do with the Bible. Why? Because a blood offends people. There's people that don't want to hear about blood. They don't want to see blood. They get sick about blood. You say, preacher, I don't see blood in this place. You won't see it physically, but spiritually you ought to know that you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I get amen? It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from our sin. It's the blood of Jesus that makes us new. And tonight, a foundational truth that we must absolutely must always be preached in a foundational importance in a local body church, that is the preaching of the cross. That is the preaching of the cross. Folks think what we do is foolish, but I want you to know it's the power of God and the salvation. How you can preach about a man named Jesus and how that he loves you and he died for you. And no matter what's going on in your life, that he loves you and he wants a relationship with you. And you can take grown men and grown women, then they get under the spout where the glory runs out and God will change their life. I want you to know foundation is very important. When we built this fellowship hall over here, the foundation is very important. I believe Brother David and Brother Les is not here, but Brother Brent, you can correct me on this. We poured about a 6-inch slab out through there. And the foundation out through there, you would think, is on a 6-inch slab, but on every pillar and on every corner and on every foundation that holds them, a big old beams. He dug a 2x2x2. He dug it 2 foot wide, 2 foot deep, or something. It's 2x2x2. I don't know everything, but I knew. I thought, that's a waste of concrete. That's a lot of concrete sticking in that hole. Why would you pour that much concrete in that hole and to anchor down that little old beam? You know why? Because the foundation is important. If the foundation ain't right, everything will come crumbling down. If the foundation ain't right, your family will come down. If the foundation ain't right, your friends will come down around you. If your foundation ain't right, your faith will come down. And your faith must not be built upon you, but your faith must be built on the blood of Jesus Christ. You said, preacher, how important is that foundation? of the preaching of the cross. I want to give you a few things. When the foundation is right, it will hold the right amount of weight that is applied upon it. When the foundation is right, no matter how much weight is put upon it, it'll hold the right amount of weight. Tonight, I want to say to you, there's a lot of Christians crumbling and they're getting out and they can't stand the test of time because they're not built on the right foundation. They get their feelings hurt. They get their feelings hurt and they get running a different way and they don't stay with God. They get mad. They get puffed up. They get a little sour. They get like a prune and they don't want what God will do in their life, and they say they love Jesus but they run the other way. I got good news tonight. Can I get an amen? Hey, when you're built on that foundation, it doesn't matter what comes your way, and you're built on the blood of Jesus Christ, it'll stand the test of time. No matter how much weight is put upon your shoulders, no matter how much weight is put upon your back, I want you to know when you're built on Jesus Christ, He can handle it all. Can I get an amen? Hey, the foundation, when it's right, it'll uphold the weight that's put upon it. Friends, there's a lot of people crumbling because they're not built on the right foundation. They're built on sinking sand. Miss Melissa and Brother Dylan bought a rider, a little old set for his birthday, and gave it to him today, and it was a sand set. And we got home, and the first thing he said, and I'm telling you, I knew what I was going to preach tonight. He said, "Daddy, let's build a house." I said, "Son, you can't build a house on sand." He said, "Why, Daddy?" At 4 years old, and I'm not no carpenter, but I sat down and told him it won't hold it up. He's wanting to put everything on top of that sand. I said, "The sand won't hold. It's not meant to hold weight. It's going to fall." Friends, tonight, can I say to you, when the foundation ain't right, it'll fall. When the foundation is right, it won't hold up when the winds blow against it. Not only the weight, but the wind. All kind of wind comes, and if the foundation ain't right, it'll blow down. Can I say to you, not only when the foundation is not right, it won't hold the weight, it won't hold up against the wind, but when the foundation is not right, it will not hold up to extreme cold or extreme heat. Extreme cold or extreme heat. There's one thing in the house of God, you listen to me, there's going to be times right here it may get extremely cold. But that don't mean we don't quit preaching on the cross. That don't mean we don't quit preaching on sin. That don't mean we don't quit preaching on Jesus Christ, that He is the way, the truth, and the life. You say, "Preacher, what if we go years and never see anybody through the baptismal waters?" He's still God. Amen. He's still on the throne. He's still exactly where He was. So we must, no matter how cold it gets around here or how hot it gets, we must not never let up. We must preach that cross. We must preach that word. You say, "Preacher, take you a Sunday off. You take a Sunday off, we'll all be in trouble." Can I get an amen? Hey, you miss one, it won't be long. You'll miss two or three. Folks, we must be built on the right foundation around here. And that's my only worry, that everybody that walks in this place is not built on Union Chapel Baptist Church. If they are, they'll die and they'll bust hell wide open. They must be built on the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. He must be built on the blood. Man, I'm telling you, when the weight and the wind and the extreme cold comes, you must be built on the blood of Jesus Christ and His cross. So my question to you tonight is, why is the cross so powerful? Why is the cross so powerful? Why do we got a cross out here at the end of the road? Why do we got a cross in the concrete? Why do we got a cross on the pulpit? Why do we got a cross up here? Why is the cross such a big deal? I want to give you a few things that God laid on my heart when I thought about the cross. Thought about when I look up at the cross and I see the cross of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Number one, when I look at the cross, I see the Lamb of God. When I look at the cross, I just don't see a cross. When I look at it, I see the Lamb of God. I see the Lamb of God. John 1:29, John said, "Behold, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he said, Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Friends, I'm telling you, when I look to that old rugged cross and I see that cross, you say, "Preacher, what do you see?" I see the Lamb of God. I see Jesus Christ that knew no sin but took my sin upon Him and hung on that old blessed cross that I may have life and that I may have it more abundantly. And we've got young men and young women around here, and they need to know that their salvation cost them something. It wasn't free. It cost Jesus their life. It may be a free gift, but it cost Jesus His life. This afternoon, I want to say to you, when I look at the cross, it is powerful, number one, because I see the Lamb of God. I see Jesus as He being crucified. But also in 1 Peter 1:18-19, the Bible says, "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things." Did you know tonight that it doesn't matter what you got, it cannot save you. It cannot save you. What you got cannot save you. What you, and I preach this all the time, and man, I'm telling you, I hear a lot of stuff. What you got will not save you. What's in your bank account, what you got at home, your last name, none of that's going to do you a bit of good when it's all said and done. You'll leave everything that you have behind. And the only thing you'll carry with you when you leave this walk of life is what you've done with the Lord Jesus. What you've done with the Lord Jesus. My salvation is perfect, folks, because it's laid up in heaven. I'm not perfect, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, I've been redeemed by the blood. Let me give you this tonight. 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. You've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. I want to say that when I look at the cross, he said the preaching of the cross in verse number 18, it is the power of God. I don't only see a lamb, the Lamb of God, but when I look at the cross, I see the love of God. Man, I see the love of God. I see God's love for me, God's love for you. Did y'all see that young girl this morning, the baptistry tears flowing down her face? Sister Kim, she had to take just a moment. She had to take a moment. Her sin really, I believe she was in a moment where she really seen her sin before an almighty God. She had to take her a moment there in that water. Not only see the Lamb of God, but see the love of God. Folks, and you know what the love of God is? The love of God is not only Jesus Christ, but it's Jesus Christ because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is love tonight, but he's also truth. You say, preacher, how do you see the love of God? John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. It's never been a doubt as he's loved us. The question is, do you love him? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave the only one he had. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. I see not only the Lamb of God when I look at the cross. I see not only the love of God, but I see the liberty of God when I look at the cross. I see my freedom. Folks, I'm not on parole. A lot of y'all act like y'all on parole. You've been pardoned. Let me tell you the difference. You ain't never been in jail, you don't know. I need to tell you a little bit something. Parole means they still got it on you. They know what you've done. You're a parolee. You're still under their authority. And you do what they say. And you report when they say report. I'm not under Satan's authority anymore, and I don't report to him. He don't tell me what to do, when to go, or how to go there. Amen? I've been pardoned by the blood of Jesus. That means everything against me has been cast away. I've been set free. No longer have I been paroled, but I have been pardoned. Folks, tonight, you're not on a leash by Satan tonight. You have been bought with a price tonight by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you get to the place, you see the Lamb of God, you see the love of God, you'll live in the freedom of God. Man, when you see what God has done, you have been pardoned, you have been set free to live this life according to the Word of God. Man, I'm telling you tonight, in John chapter number 8, that's where we're going with this point, the freedom that God has given us. I want to ask you tonight, who in here is free? Spiritually, you're just free. You could care less what anybody thinks. You're free in the blood of Jesus. Anything I preach, anything, man, I'm telling you what, I know what the book says. I'm not standing on me, Brother Charles, I'm standing on that book. I don't have no boldness. I can walk out of here and you ask my wife, she'll tell you right now, man, sometimes I cower down. But when it comes to that book, if that book says it, I can have all of it I want. But when that book tells me not to take of it, I can't have none of it. Whatever that book says, I can do. Whatever that book says I can't do, I'm not supposed to do it. So I line up with that book. There's freedom in that book. Let me show you this tonight in John chapter number 8. I want to show you this. And this is where we get down to where we see the power of the cross in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John chapter number 8 and verse number 36. Let me show you this tonight. Here's what Jesus said. And Jesus said, not only I see the Lamb of God, the love of God, and the liberty of God, but I have to see that through Jesus. And Jesus said, written in red, if you're there, say amen. John 8:36, the Bible says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And here's what he talked about here about the cross. Here's where he got down here and he told him, he said, you're not of the Father. Look what he said. He said, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word had no place in you. He said, I speak that which I have seen with my Father and you do not which you have seen with your father. And they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth. You know what? They'll try to kill you for you just telling the truth. This did not Abraham. And look what Jesus said to him. He said, you ain't got no freedom. You've not been set free. Look what he said here. You do the deeds of your father. And they said unto him, We be not born of fornication. You have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, look, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and come forth from God. Neither came I of myself, but he that sent me. You do not understand my speech. He said, you don't understand this freedom that you have in Jesus. He said, I am the Son of God standing right before you is what Jesus told him. And he said, you're looking back at Abraham and you're saying you're following Abraham's steps, and you're not. He said, you're not following that way. You're not seeing the true picture of the cross. You're not seeing what's going on. He said, you're not getting it. And they said, why can't we understand what you're trying to tell us? And Jesus said, because you're the father of the devil. You're doing your father's work, the devil's work. Man, this morning, you know what? The kind of service we had, there'll be people that walk out that did not like a thing that happened. Didn't like a thing that happened. You know why? They're not of the Father. They have a Father. Don't you get caught up that everybody comes in this church is saved. Don't put them blinders on. Oh, everybody's saved, good, and going to heaven. Don't you put them blinders on. Listen to me tonight. We have to keep preaching that cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that he is the Lamb of God. The cross is love, but the cross has also got freedom. It's got liberty in it. Folks, I'm telling you to what tonight, if we ever loosen up 1 minute, look what the world's into now. That's because it's loosened up. That's because the church is loosened up. They've loosened up. We preach Jesus. Look what he says here. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. You know why we do lustful things? You know why people do lustful things? They're following who they're serving. There's no freedom in their life. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and he's the father of it. That's who Satan is. He's a liar. I say to you tonight, when I look at the cross, I see the love of God. I see the liberty of God. But I also see this, and I want to close with this. I see that when I look at the cross, I can lean on God. Brother Hagin, if he's going to hang his son on that cross for me, I can lean on him. If he's going to hang Jesus on that cross, I can lean on him. I can trust him. I can trust him with everything in my life. You said, preacher, how do you know that? 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 5. Let me show you this right here where we're at tonight. Folks, we ain't seen nothing yet around here. We just need to keep trusting him. Man. That your faith, look in 1 Corinthians 2, 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Folks, we ain't got enough wisdom around here to stand. We ain't. If it's on our own, hey, today we was back there in that meeting and that little girl got saved and I spun around there and I tell too much. I know I do. But if it's real, it's real. If it ain't, it ain't. Right? I don't want to use a story from somebody else that did it 300 years ago. I don't want to live on past, man. I want to live on the blessings of today. I don't want to tell some other preacher's story. I like telling what happens when I see it. Turned around there and asked that mom, I said, Mama, what about you? What about your relationship with Jesus? She said, I'm lost. There wasn't no two ways about it. She wasn't covering nothing. She said, I'm lost. I said, would you like to do something about it? Man, tears started flowing down her face. She said, I sure would. And she started wanting to tell him, Brandy said, listen, we just country around here. We just love Jesus. We just country. My daughter had me these made for my birthday. Put different little sayings that I say all the time on a little handkerchief. And it says, just loving like Jesus. So, preacher, what'd you do to that woman when she needed me say? I didn't show her nothing different than I would anybody else. I took her to the cross. I took her to the Lamb, showed her the Lamb of God. I took her to show her the love of God and what kind of freedom she can have in him. And that no matter what happens in her life, she can lean on him. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I wrote this down and I want to share it with you before we close. You can lean on God no matter the sin that's in your life. If you'll confess it, he'll forgive it. If you will not confess it, he will not forgive it. 1 John 1:9, who said it? But Boyd, you got it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse number 10 says, if we say we have not sinned, we're a liar. If you'll confess it, he'll forgive it. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. When we look at the cross, no matter your sin, you can lean on God if you'll confess it. No matter your scar. I thought about it when I looked at the cross. No matter your scar. Nobody in this room's got a scar as deep as Jesus. He said, preacher, you don't know what I've been through. I know what Jesus went through. He went through it all at Calvary. You don't have the weight of sin on you that Jesus had at Calvary. No. You got your own sin. He had the world's sin. You got your little scar that really hurts your life and hurts your heart, hurts my heart. He had all of our scars. No matter your sin, no matter your scar, and no matter your situation, you can lean on Jesus. You can lean on God. You can lean on Him. Why? Because the power of the cross. He bought us back through the blood of Jesus Christ and the death on the cross. He bought us back. We've been bought with a price. I've shared this story before, and I want to share it again in ending about the cross. A little boy had gotten lost from his family and couldn't find his way home. And a police officer pulled up and could tell the kid was lost. You know, you can tell when somebody's lost. You can tell when somebody physically lost, you can tell. You can tell when they're lost. You walk into somewhere and you're like, you know where you're at? Man, I ain't got a clue. Yeah, I ain't got a clue. I can be on them gravel roads over by the house and a good-looking, shiny pickup be riding by. I rode on one and said, y'all lost? Man, we ain't got a clue where we're at. We didn't mean to be on this gravel road. I knew they weren't supposed to be on that gravel road. They had too nice a vehicle to be on a gravel road. They done got lost. They need help. You can tell when somebody's lost physically. They lie all they want to, but you can tell they're lost. Right? But you can tell when somebody's lost spiritually. Did you know that? You said, you don't know a man's heart, preacher. I didn't say I knew his heart. But I know when I get around somebody and I start talking about Jesus and the first thing they do is they duck their head and they act like, man, they want me to get away and they don't want me to mention the name of Jesus, but I can talk anything else under the sun to them. But when Jesus comes up, that's the last thing they want to talk about. They're the lost or they're not in a right relationship with God. How do you know that? Been there, done that. I did not want to talk to one of them Bible thumpers when I was lost. I did not want to hear the name of Jesus. Why? Because it convicted me. It challenged me. Because it wanted to change me, the name of Jesus. The little boy said, I'm lost. And the cop said, son, tell me something about your home. Tell me something about your home. Just tell me something about your home. He said, I don't know. We're new to town. I don't know where we live. He said, but all I know is there's a building there and it's got a cross on it. There's a building there and it's got a big old cross on it. And if you can take me to the cross, I can find my way home. Folks, tonight, I don't know a lot, but if you'll take a man or a woman, boy or girl to the cross, they can find their way home. You can take them to a church and they'll still go to hell. You can take them through them baptismal waters and they can still go to hell. But if you'll take them by the cross and let Jesus Christ touch their life, if you'll take them by that cross, it'll change things. I've seen husbands, wives, mamas, and daddies wanted their kids, wanted their people, wanted them changed so bad. They do everything on the sun to get them to change. Send them to all kind of you name it, they've done it. And then they say, I've done all I can do. Might as well take them to Jesus. Should have took them to Jesus to start with. Take them by the cross. Why? Because when they go by the cross, they're going to see the Lamb of God. When you take them by the cross, they're going to see the love of God. When you take them by the cross, they're going to see the liberty that God gives us in the cross, the freedom. When you take them by the cross, they can realize they can lean on Jesus. I don't know about you tonight, but I just want to lean on Jesus. I want His will to be done in this place. I want His will to be done in my life. And folks, I'm telling you what tonight. I believe God is doing a mighty work around here. But we've got to make our foundational truths true here and stand on them foundational corners. Any foundation worth anything is going to have about four corners at least. Three corners that's going to fall, ain't it, Brother Jim? It ain't going to work right. But if you get that foundation right, you can build upon it. And them young kids this morning, they had that foundation right. Building on the blood of Jesus, building on the cross, building on what God can do. Let's gather around this room tonight. Circle up. Let God move through this place. We'll end out with a word of prayer tonight. I want to ask you a question, though. Where are you at tonight with Jesus? Where are you at tonight?